asking the Lord what he wanted me to share with you quickly tonight.
Hey, Beth.
Yes.
You need to speak kind of loud. Some of them in the back are having.
I have a meek and gentle spirit. Why nobody can hear me. You know me, you know that's not something I'm working on. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Psalm 37 is my favorite passage of scripture. When I was trying to decide what do I share with them tonight, I'm going to take you down to the very core of me, and I want to share with you the verses that God has used in my life more than any other verses in scripture. These have been my favorite verses since I was a teenager. And when I start struggling, I go to this passage of scripture. I go to this chapter of God's word, because there are several things that he tells me to do in a few short verses. And if you'll follow my tracking through the weekend, you will find that I'm not a rocket scientist, and I keep things very simple in my own life. Because if I get too complicated and too complex, then I really get off track. And I don't even understand what I'm thinking, let alone what to do. So in Psalm chapter 37, I'm going to read several verses, and then we're going to break them down. And I'm going to give you some things that I hope you will take away from our time tonight. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What does it mean to trust? You help me. What does it mean to trust?
Believe.
Believe? Okay. Believe. All right. What does... Can somebody help? Somebody else give me something.
Have faith in.
Rely on. Okay.
Believing you can't see. Things you can't see.
Okay. Believing some things that I can't see. I have never seen God. I have seen God work in people's lives. I've never seen him face to face. But the very first time I heard the gospel when I was 5, I accepted Christ. Isn't that amazing? I don't have lots and lots of gory details to tell you about my life, except I could tell you a lot of gory details about the things where I have not trusted God. Have you ever been guilty of not trusting God? You take matters into your own hands. I felt that the Lord needed my help in raising my children. You know, I wanted to be very, very responsible as a mother. I wanted to be a good wife. And that was quite an undertaking to say yes to Mac Lynch and to embark upon a journey with him. That's two dirty, wicked, rotten sinners on the same roof. And we're supposed to live in harmony? You know, how do you do that? Well, you do a lot of running to Christ. We've had a wonderful marriage. I've never looked back in regret after in getting into that journey with that man. But to trust in the Lord has gone to the very core of my life. I trusted him to save me from my sins when I was alive. But I have a difficult time trusting him in the day-by-day workings of life. Isn't that terrible? I can trust him to keep me out of hell, but then I struggle because I don't trust him to take me to tomorrow. I don't trust him in the care of my 81-year-old mother. I had a very difficult time trusting that he was leading us to do the right thing 3 years ago when we left the wilds. That was the hardest thing I've ever done. But I realized some things about my lack of trust in God, because I was secure and I liked my little life at Bounds. I liked things easy. I liked the routine. I didn't want to go make new friends. I had wonderful friends. I didn't need anybody else, I didn't think. I didn't want to find new grocery stores. I didn't want to pack up that house. I didn't want to throw away things. I had everything in its place in my little house of the wilds. And then God said, I'm done with you here, but I'm not done with you. And he took us to a wonderful, wonderful place. But I had set my face and looked to him who is the author and finisher of my faith. I trusted him to save me. Could he not take care of me in my 60s in a new place? Well, I'm telling you now, for 3 years, he's done that every day. It's been a good journey. Has it been a tough one? Yes, it's been very hard. But it's so neat to go back to camp and you are still welcomed. Everything's just the same. Our house doesn't look the same because they put a young couple in there with two babies and they But that's okay. The Lord has shown me to trust him, to rely on him. And I had to start learning that as a teenager. Do I really trust him? What am I going to do with my life? I don't know. What do I know how to do? Well, the only thing I knew how to do was play the piano. And I decided, no, I don't want to play the piano anymore. I'm tired of playing the piano. I want to be a nurse. Well, that was a disaster. But I had to trust the Lord with all my heart. And then it says, do good. What does that mean? One of you teenagers, tell me, what does it mean to do good? It's not a trick question. What?
Live righteously.
Live righteously? Boy, that's really, those are big words. Okay. It just means to do what's right. Live righteously is very good. But that just means to do what's right. Who helps us know how to do what's right? Well, for those of you on that row right there, your mothers are trying to help you to know how to do what's right. Your youth pastor's wife is trying to help you know how to do what's right. If you take a musical instrument, your teachers are guiding you to do what's right with that instrument. I'm a piano teacher, and in a week and a half, I will take 4 students to Fall Festival. And I will trust that they have done their part, that they have done right in their practice. Because what happens when they go in before the judges? Well, probably whatever they've been practicing will be magnified. Or whatever they haven't been practicing will be magnified. Hope they don't make me look bad. But no. Trust and do good. Do what's right. It's very simple. Now, sometimes I get stuck right there because I don't always do what is right. When I respond incorrectly to pain or to suffering or to injustice. You ever had somebody not do you right? And you have a test. How are you going to respond to what God has sent? Well, God still expects me to do good, to do right. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What does that mean? Anybody want to help me? What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord?
The joy of man.
Take joy
in him.
In him.
Find all of your joy in him and satisfaction.
Sure. It means whatever God has given me to do. It needs to be okay. Sometimes we like the fluffy and the glamorous, and the Lord gives us the nursery. And sometimes that's not a very pleasant place. For those of you that are young mothers, you probably were just glad to walk out of the house tonight and leave it with their dad. And know that when you get home tonight, everything's going to be just a disaster, you know. But the kids will probably be in bed, but your husband may have drugged them to get them to go to bed. I'm not sure how that will work at your house. But whatever God gives you to do, it's good enough. I was single for 31 years, Letitia, I've had a lot of good things to talk about in just a short period of time. Waiting on the Lord for the choice of a life's partner was very, very difficult for me. I kept thinking, why do I have this incredible desire to be a wife and mother if God's not fulfilling that desire? And the Bible says here, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Find my pleasure and joy in doing what he's given me to do today. And it says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so that was my rabbit tail that I hung on to, you know, because I thought, okay, if I am happy where I am, then God's going to give me the desire of my heart. And do you know what? The Lord helped me to be very content where he had put me all those years. I still liked the thought of being a wife and a mother, but I became so content in being a school teacher and in having wonderful, wonderful students in Virginia Beach, Virginia for 8 years that it was my joy and my delight to go to school every day and teach those kids. So I got real scared because I thought, oh no, I love this so much. Maybe the Lord's not going to let me be a wife and a mother. And you know, the Lord, I think, had to teach me how to be content where he put me before he could give me the desire of my heart. Because I struggled and struggled. So, you find your pleasure and your joy doing what God has given you to do. For you teenage girls, what you are doing now, you're going to school every day, you're practicing hard on those instruments, you're learning how to obey and submit to the authorities that have been placed over you for your protection. That is God's will for you right now. And as you are faithful in that, God will unfold the next step for you. I know some of you are seniors and you're getting ready to go off to college and you're thinking, oh man, this is big. You know, I'm going to step my foot into the Red Sea and I wonder if God's going to part the waters for me. And he will. He will do that. But we have to trust the Lord. We have to do good. We have to delight where he's put us right now. Then verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way to the Lord. That means lay it out there and say, God, in this season of my life, I don't know from day to day what's going to happen to me. I don't know where you're going to take me. 4 years ago, I would have never, ever thought that I wouldn't be at the Wilds today. That was extremely traumatic for us. But was God not good? No, he was still good. Did God change? No. But he got us ready. For some of you that were at that ladies' retreat a year before, when I talked of life being more than just a journey, I had no idea what the journey was going to do with us. But it's been okay. 3 years ago, it didn't look like it's going to be okay. Because I struggled and fought and fought. And the Lord had to keep settling my heart and helping me to go back to Psalm 37. And I'd say, what is wrong with me? Well, I wasn't trusting the Lord. I was fretting. I was unhappy. I was brokenhearted. I did not delight myself in Him. I didn't like what He was doing. And then when the Bible says, commit thy way, oh, that was the furthest thing from my mind. So I go back to Psalm 37 and I'd say, what's wrong with me? And everything was wrong with me because I wasn't obeying Scripture. So I had to come back to truth of God's Word and take these simple thoughts and I'd say, what do I know about committing my way? I've been committing my way for 35 years. What is my problem? Why am I all of a sudden not liking what God is doing? Because He was choosing to take me down a different path that I didn't know about and I wasn't comfortable with. And that showed me idols of my heart. Have you ever been brought to the realization that you are worshiping something besides what you should be worshiping? It's a terrible place. I didn't even know that I was guilty of this idol of my heart. But the wilds had become an idol of my heart. You say, you wicked woman, what are we bringing in here to talk to us about? You know? I will always be honest with you. And this journey is not an easy journey. But that's the goal, isn't it? Rooted and built up and beautiful in His sight. But that journey will take twists and turns. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the Lord took my dad home to heaven suddenly. They had only lived with us 8 weeks, and God took him home. And I said to him, Dad, it wasn't supposed to happen this way. And he said, God is good, Beth. God is good. And I'm out of here, he told me. He said he wanted to go home to heaven because he didn't want to suffer anymore. Now, he finished his journey, and he finished it well. He was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to our family. And did he have trials and tests and challenges? Yes, he did. But he died restful because that's the way he lived. He just was a restful kind of person. I'm always all crammed up, it seems like. Committing my way to the Lord is a constant, daily thing. I lay my life out every morning. I sit at my kitchen table, and there are several things that Mac always wanted. He always wanted to have a bay window. And in our house that the church has provided for us, we have a bay window. He always wanted a barn out behind the house. I don't know why, but he always wanted a barn. Guess what's behind our house? A big, big barn. It's a storage barn for the church. He's thrilled. It's ugly. It is so ugly. But it's a barn, and he loves a barn. Always wanted a big front porch. We live in a very large southern colonial. It's all on one level. And it is a beautiful, beautiful home. It's twice as big as my Wild's house. Go figure. I mean, I thought we would leave the Wild someday and we would live in a little white trailer. I really did, and that was going to be fine. And this house has a huge, beautiful front porch. And that's one of Mac's desires. There was something else that he really wanted, and God has given him that. in his old age. It is the sweetest thing to see God grant the desires of his heart. And his desires aren't big, as you can well tell, that big ugly barn. But I sit at my table and look out my bay window and see lots of flowers that he has planted in our backyard. And I marvel at what God has done. But every day, I say to the Lord, first thing in the morning, after I get a good stiff cup of coffee, I sit down with my Bible and I say, Lord, I want you to know, you have permission today to do whatever you want to with my life. Now, does God need my permission? No, but that is a very good exercise for me. I tend to have my own plan. I want things done a certain way, and I don't want God to mess too much with me, because he's already done that once, and I was really mad at him. But to me, it's been a very good thing for me to lay my life every day in front of God and say, I'm committing my way to you today, and you do whatever you choose to do with me. And you can reconstruct my day however you see fit. And he does. But I've already given him permission to do it, even though he doesn't need that. Go down to verse 7. This is a wonderful part of his commands to me. Rest in the Lord. Rest does not depend on my circumstances, but on my relationship with God. I can rest when I'm at peace with him. It could be some of you are sitting here tonight and you're just in a dither inside. You're all in a wad. I've been there, I've done that. You may be very, very burdened about children who do not have your values anymore. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. But if my relationship is right with him, then I can rest in him. And that is a deliberate action on my part every day. Because I'm not a resting kind of person. I'm always moving. I do not take time to chill. You know, I have this one son and he says, Mom, you need to take a chill pill. and he's right, because I'm constantly moving and always have something that I want to accomplish or see accomplished. I need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What is it that you are waiting patiently? For some of it's the return of a child that has become wayward. I've been there and done that. It's very painful. And to rest and wait is terrifically difficult. To wait for God to show you will it. Well, your will, God's will for you today is to do what you know you should be doing. And you will go to bed tonight and you will be at with him because you did what you were supposed to do. You did good today. And then you'll wake up tomorrow morning and you'll take your next steps. You say, you make it sound so simple. It really isn't meant to be hard. But life is hard because we live in a sin-cursed body, in a sin-cursed world. And until we get over here, we're always going to have these struggles. The struggle's not bad. Well, I don't like it, but it's not bad. It is good. But nonetheless, I do all these things. So we've learned we have to trust in the Lord, throw our care and our weight on him. Do teenage girls have to learn to trust the Lord? Yes, I remember many times. I had an argument with a girlfriend as a teenager, and I just all upset about it. Or I like this boy and he talked to my girlfriend, and that just threw me in a tailspin. You know, I look back at those things that seemed so important at that time, but that's where my maturity level was. And then I got a little older and the challenges became different. Rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, do good, delight, commit, rest in Him. Wait patiently for Him. And then the last thing, fret not. I don't know if any of you remember Patch the Pirate Goes to the Jungle. Our oldest son was a baby when that tape came out. And remember the elephant on Patch the Pirate series? Her name was Lily. And our baby son, he had a little stuffed elephant, and he named her Lily. And Christopher became very, very ill when he was 11 months, and he got septicemia, and he almost died. And I remember him being strapped, spread eagle, and they were just running tubes and all kinds of things into that 11-month-old baby. I would lay Lily on his chest. And I don't know if you remember in that Patch the Pirate, but another one of the characters would say, "Fret not, Lily, fret not, Lily." And because Lily was always cumbered about with all the trials and the tests of life, and I would lay Lily on Christopher's chest, and I'd say, "Fret not, Lily." And he knew what that meant as an 11-month-old, because we had explained, and he knew all the songs. He didn't even talk, but he understood, and he would rest, and he wouldn't fret as a baby when I put Lily's chest. And I had back to that situation so many times in my life, and I've said, "Fret not, Lily," because it's all in a wad, and she was fretting. So tonight, we're done. What are our commands? Trust in the Lord. We trust Him for salvation. Can you trust Him for the greatest need of your heart tonight? Do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Find your pleasure and joy in serving Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, sometimes my desires were not good desires. And so God needed to change my wanter. Because I didn't always want the best thing. I did not want to leave the wilds. So what did God have to do for me? He had to change my wanter when I was 60. You say, "Well, hello, you know, you should have gotten that a long time ago." Yes, I should have. But I didn't know what was best for me. This move has been the best for us. It proved an idol of my heart, and I was able to deal with that, and I didn't even know that it existed. What else? Trust in the Lord, do good, delight, commit thy way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Do you ever go to sleep at night? I don't sleep like I used to sleep. You know, I'll sleep 3 good hours, and then I'm like, "Ugh, it must be 6:30. And look, and it's 12:45. Oh, it's one of those nights. But we make ourselves rest. We be still. And eventually we go back to sleep, or we're refreshed in the morning. I don't know how it happens. God does that. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And then the final thing, fret not. I go back in the circle of life. I go back on a weekly basis. And I become troubled about something. And I stop and I say, okay, what's wrong? And I go back to Psalm 37 and I trace my path. And I say, where am I messing up? Because I know I'm messing up somewhere because I'm in turmoil and I'm not resting. But what am I not doing? And I go back and find where I left the Lord. And I go back to that point and I confess and I forsake my way and get back on track again. Some very simple, simple thoughts tonight. But this has been like the theme of my life up to this point. Have I always been successful in Psalm 37 for? Or in Psalm 37, no, I have not. You go to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighted in his way. Isn't it such a delight to love and serve God? It is. And for those of you that haven't experienced that because you're fighting him, you have to come back to this chapter and find out where you're messing up, what you're not doing, and come back to Christ and confess that as sin and ask God to change you. And then you take steps in not living that way tomorrow. Father, thank you for our special time together tonight. I pray that this will set our tone on being rooted and grounded and beautiful in your sight. Thank you for your word and the simplicity of its content. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find that we better be grounded in the truth and then prepare our hearts for tomorrow so that we can take more steps in our growth in trying to that we can treasure in our heart and then some precepts that we need to ponder, and then how to get grace from God in all the circumstances of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.